Yes, Patrick Beverley destroyed his former Clippers team and took the ball from them and everything in between and took their souls. But coming up on Locked On Grizzlies, I'm going to tell you why there is a clear path for success with Ja Morant and his teammates at going at the Timberwolves.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, DeMichael Cole, beat writer for the Commercial Appeal, covering your Memphis Grizzlies. And today I'm going solo. Sean Coleman is off for today. So now you're stuck with me on today by my lonesome. But we got a lot to cover here on Locked On Grizzlies. First and foremost, we thank you for making Locked On Grizzlies your first listen each and every day. Make sure if you're listening and watching on YouTube, you subscribe, comment. If you're listening on the Stitcher, Apple Podcast app, Spotify, wherever you listen, make sure you're subscribing and leaving a 5-star reviews as well. But we appreciate you for listening to Locked On Grizzlies. And we found out the opponent. We found out the dates. The schedule was released. Game one, Saturday, 2:30. Game two at the FedEx Forum will take place on Tuesday. And then game three and four will go to Minnesota on Thursday and Saturday, respectively. So the schedule is laid out now. Now it's just time to play basketball. But we can't skip there yet. It's a process. It's just Thursday. Then there's Friday. And then there's game day. So we have a lot to talk about. And specifically, you know, we got to get into these matchups. We got to get into these matchups. And the number one matchup that's creating the most buzz so far is Patrick Beverley versus Ja Morant. And rightfully so. Let's just, you know, history lesson here. The last time they played in the FedEx Forum, you know, there was a little altercation where Patrick Beverley, you know, bumped Ja Morant a little bit, and I think Ja Morant took exception to it, where it looked like Patrick Beverley tried to come under him. No, he pushed him in the back, and you know, Ja took a little exception to it. He gave him a couple words. As they inbounded the ball, the crowd got into it as well. And then, you know, the game went on. I asked Ja Morant about that after the game. He didn't say much about it, you know, didn't want to give Patrick Beverley, you know, that much more attention. But a couple of the other Grizzlies players said things, you know, Desmond Bane basically pointed out, look, we know what Patrick Beverley is here to do. We know what his role is on this team and things like that. So, you know, Patrick Beverley versus Ja Morant will be one of the top matchups to watch, not only in this series, but in the postseason, from an entertainment perspective in the first round. So we did some numbers dive. You know, my man Sean Coleman, Mr. Stats SAC, isn't here himself. So I have to be your stats man for today. And here are the numbers. This is according to NBA.com. So Patrick Beverley actually matched up against Ja Morant more than any defender in the NBA this season. We'll get into those numbers. So first, before we get into those numbers, let's get into Ja Morant's numbers against the Timberwolves, because he has struggled. He has struggled against the Timberwolves as comparison to what he's done against, you know, teams like the Nuggets, the Jazz, and other teams who are actually really good defensively, the Suns. Ja Morant is only averaging 20 points, 6.5 assists, 5.5 rebounds in against the Timberwolves. And not only that, but he's shooting 33.8% from the field, 15% from three. And he didn't make a three-pointer in the last three meetings. So each of his three makes from three-point range came in that first meeting. And since then, he's 0 for. So Ja Morant hasn't made shots that, you know, you don't expect him to miss this many 3 points. 15% from 3-point range, 33.8% shooting overall. So the question is, how much of a factor is Patrick Beverley into that? And as I mentioned earlier, he has guarded Ja more than any player in the NBA. So he's a big factor. So we looked at the NBA.com, you know, tracking number. And first and foremost, let's be clear here. Defensive numbers are so hard to track because basketball now, especially when you're playing against a team like the Grizzlies, there's so much pick and roll. There's so much switching. There's so many, you know, sometimes the guy who is the primary defender ends up in the corner on the opposite side of the floor because there's so much switching going on and there's so much, you know, going on throughout a play. So Patrick Beverley may start off a play on Ja Morant, but a lot of times he doesn't end up on him. That's why, according to NBA.com, he led the NBA, Patrick Beverley, that is, matched up against Ja Morant with 20 minutes and 41 seconds this season over four games. Like I said, you know, that's Ja Morant is playing, you know, over 30 minutes in these games, but a lot of moving pieces throughout the game. So he led the NBA 20 minutes and 41 seconds matched up solely on Ja Morant. Here are the numbers. In that time, Ja Morant scored 16 points. He had 5 assists. He shot 6 of 17 from the field. And most notable to me was 0 free throw attempts. So it shows Patrick Beverley is playing solid defense against Morant. He's not fouling. And, you know, he's containing them. 6 of 17 shooting overall. So those are really good numbers. But as I said earlier, there is a pathway to success here. Because at the end of the day, the Grizzlies don't play iso ball. You know, they're not going to just give the ball to Morant and let him iso Patrick Beverley and everyone's going to move out of the way. That's just not going to happen. There's going to be heavy pick and roll with Steven Adams and those big bruising screens that he sets. There's going to be some Brandon Clark screens as well. There's going to be some Jaren Jackson going on. There's a lot of moving parts. So what you'll see throughout the game is not only will he be matched up against Patrick Beverley, Ja Morant will get a piece of a lot of Timberwolves defenders. So here are some other numbers. D'Angelo Russell, 9 minutes and 8 seconds against him. D'Angelo Russell guarded Ja Morant for 9 minutes and 8 seconds this season. Remember, I said Patrick Beverley has scored 16 points on Patrick Beverley in 20 minutes and 41 seconds. In less than half amount of time being guarded by D'Angelo Russell, 9 minutes and 8 seconds, Ja Morant has scored 19 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. There's your mismatch. D'Angelo Russell can't guard him. And we've seen this, you know, with the eye test as well. If you watch the games, this is no surprise. These numbers back up what we see. D'Angelo Russell just not as quick laterally to stay in front of Ja Morant. So that 19 points that Ja Morant has scored against D'Angelo Russell, according to those NBA.com stats that I mentioned, that's number one in the NBA for Ja Morant, most points scored against a certain defender one-on-one matched up against. So 8 of 14 shooting, 9 minutes. There's a mismatch. And then he's also going to be matched up a lot against Karl Anthony Towns because, again, those switches, those hard screens are going to force Karl Anthony Towns to step up and guard him. In those matchups, 4 minutes and 38 seconds this season, 13 points for Ja Morant on 6 of 10 shooting. So, again, we just went down to 3 guys that he's most likely to be matched up with throughout a game, and he's had a good success against 2 of them. That's Karl Anthony Towns, and he's had really good success against D'Angelo Russell. So if you look at it like that, in a simpler form, you know, there's a pathway to success here. One defender cannot take you out of a game unless they're playing some type of box in one or some type of defensive coverage that I doubt, you know, the Timberwolves will play. But we'll also give you Anthony Edwards' numbers as well because he matched up similarly to Karl Anthony Towns, 4 minutes and 38 seconds guarding Ja Morant. And take those stats with a grain of salt, I think, because 3 points for Morant. He went 1 of 4 but they all were three-point attempts. So did not get to the rim against Anthony Edwards in one-on-one situations. So there you have it. I mean, those are the numbers. Ja Morant, overall this season, we mentioned it, 20 points per game, 33.8% shooting from the field, 15% from three. Those are not Ja Morant numbers. They're not Ja Morant numbers. But the game within the game. You get him matched up against D'Angelo Russell. You have one of the bigger mismatches for the Grizzlies. You get him going downhill against Karl Anthony Towns. 6 of 10 so far this year. 13 points. Made a three-pointer on him as well. Those are your mismatches, and those are matchups that you can get fairly easy. And they're not hard to get. Patrick Beverley is going to fight through those screens. He's going to, you know, eventually win some of those battles. But the Grizzlies, you know, have the chance to you know, take advantage of those mismatches. And when you have those mismatches, when you got Ja Morant going against D'Angelo Russell, you take your chances with that every single time. And speaking of taking your chances, go over to BetOnline and take your chances with some of these bets as well. Specifically, we're talking about Ja Morant, right? So Ja Morant right now on BetOnline.net has the seventh best odds to be the NBA Finals MVP. Seventh best odds in the NBA. He's actually tied with Jason Tatum. So that's a frame of reference for you right there. And he's ahead of guys like Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic. But betonline.net, you can go there. You can do your live betting. You can do playoff betting for the NBA, esports, or you can do combat sports, MMA, MLB is back. Wherever you want to do, whatever you want to do, BetOnline.net is where you go to take care of your betting. So make sure you go take care of that. And those playoff odds are there now. The Grizzlies are favorites against the Timberwolves in not only just game one, but throughout this series. So there is something to take advantage there for you Grizzlies fans. But BetOnline.net is the place to go to take advantage of that. But coming up, before we move on to our next segment, we're going to discuss why the Grizzlies don't just have to focus on Dylan Brooks and who he's going to guard, but why the Timberwolves have to figure out who they are going to guard as well. Coming up on the next segment. So the Grizzlies, you know, we just talked about with Ja Morant and how the Timberwolves are going to guard him. Well, what are the Grizzlies going to do to stop that Timberwolves backcourt? Let's be honest. This is an interesting matchup. This is an interesting matchup specifically because the Grizzlies are going against one of the best dynamic backcourts the NBA has to offer. And not only that, they also have a big man in Karl Anthony Towns, who's one of the best big man shooters. And he has a 60-point game, and he's not bad inside the paint as well. So who does Dylan Brooks guard, I think, is a big question in this game. So let's go to the two options, you know, because he's not going to be guarding Patrick Beverley. The options are D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards. So if you just go by best pure natural scorer of the two, most explosive, who averages more points, Anthony Edwards is your guy, right? Without a doubt. Well, if I'm Taylor Jenkins, I say you put Dylan Brooks on D'Angelo Russell. So let me tell you why. Because at the end of the day, look at the numbers. I mean, we're talking about seasonal numbers of what they've done against other teams. But what they've done specifically against the Grizzlies, D'Angelo Russell has been that guy. 31 points per game against the Grizzlies. So he's scoring. Not only that, he's averaging 7 assists, 6.8 assists against the Grizzlies, which shows that he's getting to his spots. Even when he's not scoring, he's able to clearly see where he wants to go with the basketball. So there's not a lot of resistance there. Anthony Edwards, not bad. I mean, he had a 27-point game. He had a 23-point game. He had a 30-point game. He's only averaging 21.3 points per game against the Grizzlies in those four games, mainly because in that last meeting, he only scored 5 points. shot 1 of 11 from the field. But outside of that game, he had 27, 23, and 30. So they're both terrific options. But you put Dylan Brooks on D'Angelo Russell because D'Angelo Russell is ball. Number one rule defensively is to stop the basketball. You stop D'Angelo Russell, you're taking away a lot of their dribble penetration. And when they go to their screens and you know, they try to do their driving kicks for D'Angelo Russell to create opportunities for others, if you put Dylan Brooks on him in those situations and he's sliding through those screens and you know, using his physicality that he talks to us about all the time, that's Dylan Brooks's game, being physical with the opponent. And I asked him about that. We talked about that a couple days ago in practice, and he told me the main idea behind that is to wear the opponent down. And it works, because if you're constantly just leaning onto a guy, you tuck on his jersey a little bit, you body bump him a little bit with a couple blows here and there, over the course of a game, that wears a guy down. That's important, because if you watch that Clippers game, who was the closer? It was D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell closed out the Clippers. If you watch the last meeting between the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves, where the Timberwolves won at the Target Center, who closed out that game? It was D'Angelo Russell with a huge fourth quarter. Dylan Brooks has the ability to weigh on him over the first quarter, over the second quarter, over the third quarter, to the point where by the time that fourth quarter rolls around, that same fourth quarter where D'Angelo Russell has really been making a name, and you know, he has earned the whole moniker, the ice in his veins thing and whatnot, Dylan Brooks has the type of skill set to weigh on him. And by the time of the game gets here, the Grizzlies will have an advantage. So this is not to say that Dylan Brooks solely should guard D'Angelo Russell throughout the game. I'm not saying that, because I think if Anthony Edwards is toasting you and he scores 28 points in the first half, you need to change something. And that's probably the main change that you should make. And Dylan Brooks, you know, I just think it's better if he starts off on Russell. We'll see what Taylor Jenkins likes. We'll see what he does. And you know, it's a big decision. I think it's a really big decision overall. And it's not just Dylan Brooks, you know, that you can throw at these guys. Desmond Bane guarded a lot of Anthony Edwards in that last meeting that I mentioned. He went 1 of 11, 5 points. There was a lot of Desmond Bane guarding him in that game. How about DeAnthony Melton? Talked a lot about DeAnthony Melton being one of those X factors, because he comes off the bench. He's one of the top players in the NBA in deflections. But it's not just deflections. He has really good hands. He knows how to stay in front of the basketball, and he has that 6'8 wingspan with those long arms. I think he's another good defender that you can throw at Anthony Edwards as well. So depending on how much he plays in that rotation, with the way he's been shooting the ball, you know, the last couple weeks worth of games, I don't think he's the type of guy that you want to squeeze out of that rotation right now. So the Grizzlies have options. They have a lot of options to throw at this Timberwolves backcourt, because that backcourt can fill it up. D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards, both really good NBA scorers. But the Grizzlies, you know, they didn't have Dylan Brooks in any of those previous four meetings. That's going to be a difference. How much of a difference? We're going to find out. But it'll be a difference for sure. But you know what else is a difference? The weather. The weather is changing right now. So since the weather is changing, you might want to start and go ahead over to Shady Rays and get your shades, because it's getting a little sunny. It's getting a little warmer. And Shady Rays is where you get your sunglasses. See, this is the thing about Shady Rays. Shady Rays gives you those features when they have those $200, those $200 sunglasses that you're getting from all these expensive places. You can get that. You can go to Shady Rays and get that just for about a fraction of that price. And the quality is just as good. We're talking about polarized lenses of well-constructed, durable frames and premium high-end finishes. Shea Rays has loss and protection on every pair of his sunglasses, too. So that means if you lose or break a pair or however you get rid of them, they will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what. So head over to ShadyRays.com. Use the Locked On promo code, and you can get 50% off of two more pairs of polarized sunglasses. So again, head over to ShadyRays.com. Use the Locked On promo code. Get 50% off when ordering two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Shady Rays has over 150,000 five-star reviews. But coming up after this, Ray, we're going to discuss three more things to watch in this basketball series coming up between the Timberwolves and the Grizzlies. The Timberwolves are feisty. They're a feisty bunch. The Grizzlies are a feisty bunch. Timberwolves like to get up and down. The Grizzlies like to get up and down. Timberwolves have a talented backcourt. The Grizzlies have a talented backcourt. The Timberwolves have shooters off the bench, like Malik Beasley. The Grizzlies have their own shooter off the bench in De'Anthony Melton. This game, this series, is pretty much from a personnel standpoint, you have a lot of equality in there. You talk about Karl Anthony Towns and his ability to stretch the floor. Jaren Jackson is capable, you know, of doing some of the same things. He hasn't done it at the level of Karl Anthony Towns, but like we saw at the end of that Utah game, Jaren Jackson is more than capable. So there are a lot of little small factors that'll go into this series, game by game, match by match, quarter by quarter, minute by minute, decision by decision. But let's talk about them. Let's go three things specifically. We're going to point out three things. And before we point out, you know, those three things, just make sure, you know, you're listening to Locked On Grizzlies right now. And make sure you tune in to Locked On Now as well. Locked On Now is where all of the podcasters will come together and you get everything that's going on around the NBA in a quick instance. Locked On Now is where you go for that. Same way that you listen to Locked On Grizzlies, you can get Locked On Now. So your Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you go to listen to your Locked On Grizzlies app, you can go listen to Locked On Now as well and get a whole idea of what's going on around the NBA. And that's important right now because you got teams like the Warriors, the Mavs, the Suns, the Jazz, the Nuggets. Grizzlies fans, you probably want to keep an eye on these teams because any of these teams, if you advance, you might want to get a gauge for what's going on the next opponent. And Locked On Now is the place to get an idea for that. But the first thing that we're going to talk about here is the turnover battle. Turnover battle in this series is going to be important. Because the turnover battle is important in every series, but the way these two teams capitalize off turnovers is unique. Talked about the Grizzlies and you know, them being the number one transition scoring team in NBA. The Timberwolves are pretty opportunistic themselves. And they have, you know, D'Angelo Russell. They have Anthony Edwards, who's one of the best high flyers. You know, he's also a great transition finisher as well. Malik Beasley, who shoots a ton of three-pointers, but he has hops. He can get, you know, in transition. He can make some things happen as well. So you need to win the turnover battle in this game to create easier scoring opportunities. I think in that game against the Clippers, we saw the Clippers were creating turnovers. And when the Clippers weren't able to create turnovers in that fourth quarter stretch, the game kind of flipped. And it flipped because they weren't able to create those turnovers, which means they weren't able to get in transition, which means the Timberwolves, they were creating turnovers. They were able to get in transition. They created easy scoring opportunities. Then they went on that big run, closed that game out. I think that's a big factor in this game. Who wins the turnover battle? Because both of these teams can score. with the best of them in transition. And speaking of scoring, that leads us to our number two point, and it's the backcourts. Ja Morant, Desmond Bain, and it's not just starters because it's Tyus Jones, De'Anthony Melton, but you got Patrick Beverley, Malik Beasley, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell. All of these players, backcourt scoring is going to be fun to watch. Fun to watch because there are so many options here, and it's going to be so hard to stop all these guys for the Grizzlies. For example, Malik Beasley, top 10 in the NBA in three-pointers made this season, coming off of the bench. And he takes, you know, more than 50% of his shots are from three-point range. He's coming in, and he's coming in to shoot. He's not coming in to get to the rim or shoot mid-range shot. Malik Beasley is coming into the game to shoot three-pointers. He's been really good at that. I believe he had a game this season where he made 11 three-pointers. Malik Beasley has been one of the top shooters. The Grizzlies have to identify that. And there's the Patrick Beverley factor as well. You kind of get a letdown sometimes when Patrick Beverley makes some of those threes. Like in that Clippers game, the shot clock was winding down and they throw the ball out to the corner. And he shoots like a little one-legged three-pointer as the shot clock, you know, expires and it went in pure net. That's kind of demoralizing in a way. But you got to take the punches with how they're dealt, because Patrick Beverley has been a really good three-point shooter throughout his career. That's just the truth. No matter how many times teams allow him to get that shot, he has been proven to be a really good three-point shooter throughout his career. And then there's the other two guys that we've talked a lot about, D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards. We've talked about how the Grizzlies should guard them, who they should guard them with. But on the Memphis side, I mean, let's talk more about the Grizzlies here, because Ja Morant, we mentioned, you know, this opponent has been tough for him overall, but I think there are some things that you can attack within this opponent to get more productive performances from Ja Morant. Desmond Bane, one of the more consistent three-point shooters in the NBA. We're talking top 10 in three-pointers made and percentage this season. So you know what you're going to get from Desmond Bane. But what about De'Anthony Melton, man? Because De'Anthony Melton has been hot. He ended the season torching. I wrote that story at commercialappeal.com when he was one of the hottest shooters in the NBA. And I thought for a second, I was like, maybe this story is going to, you know, he might cool down after this story. And he didn't. He just kept shooting. He's still shooting. He looks real composed. He looked real relaxed from the three-point line. And watching De'Anthony Melton shoot the ball, it makes you think, like, he's going to be playing a lot in this series. And then there's Tyus Jones. I don't know where Tyus Jones will get most of his minutes. We're going to, you know, talk more with Taylor Jenkins about that as we get closer to the game time. But Tyus Jones, again, led the NBA in assist to turnover ratio. But we're talking about backcourt scoring. He has really become much more aggressive. And I think it was in that stretch where Ja Morant went out after Thanksgiving in that game against the Hawks, when the Grizzlies went 10-2 over that stretch without Morant, and Tyus Jones upped his scoring. Ever since then, Tyus Jones has been a much more aggressive scorer. He has not slowed down since that point. We saw it in that Utah game. We've seen it against Denver. Tyus Jones is aggressive. And aggressive Tyus Jones is good for the Grizzlies. So it's not just backcourt scoring more points than the other backcourt. It's creating quality looks, quality opportunities, and it's also taking away that for the other team, like Malik Beasley, taking away his three-point opportunities. Or with Desmond Bane, if Desmond Bane is hitting 3, 4, 5 three-pointers, it's going to be a long night for the Timberwolves. And this whole conversation about the backcourts brings us to the final thing to watch, I think, over the course of the series overall, and that's rotational choices. I think these will be fluid for the Grizzlies. I think, you know, at the end of the day, Ja Morant is going to be on the court a lot. Desmond Bane is going to be on the court a lot. Jaren Jackson, when he's not in foul trouble, is going to be on the court a lot. You could pencil those three in, and you could say the same thing for Dylan Brooks. So As far as the bench goes, which we talked about, the Grizzlies have one of the best benches in the NBA. Where are the minutes going to come from? Tyus Jones, for example. If Ja Morant is playing, say, 38 minutes, he averaged 40 minutes last postseason. But let's say he's playing 38. That leaves 10 minutes for Tyus Jones, a.k.a. the guy who leads the NBA in assist-to-turnover ratio, who's been one of the best three-point shooters on the Grizzlies, who has been one of their best free throw shooters, who has one of the best floaters on the team. You're taking that out of the lineup if and you're only, you know, using it for 10 minutes a game. That's tough. It's a tough squeeze. But there's the opportunity to play him on the court with Morant. But if you do that, are you sacrificing, you know, defensively there? You're asking one of Morant or Tyus Jones to guard one of Anthony Edwards or D'Angelo Russell. And we've seen that this season. We've seen Patrick Beverley pick up full court to the point where the Grizzlies brought in Tyus Jones and they ran both of their point guards. So a lot of decisions to be made from the rotational standpoint, even in the front court. What about Kyle Anderson? He's been great. I talk to people all the time about defensively, what he does from an activity standpoint with his hands, with his reaction. I think he's a great defender. But, you know, Brandon Clark is going to close the games because of his ability to switch, to guard multiple positions, his activity on the offensive glass, his rebounding, his offensive repertoire with his floater and his push shot that he gets a lot of times in these games. So with that being said, there are some tough rotational choices that the Grizzlies have to make. We haven't even mentioned John Conchar and Zaire Williams. The last time the Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves, John Conchar had 15 points and 17 rebounds. And at this point, we're looking at John Conchar possibly being the 11th man or the odd man out of a 10-man rotation, because Taylor Jenkins usually plays 10. John Conchar would be the odd man out because you'd probably use Zaire Williams as the backup small forward position. And this is the same John Conchar who had 15 points and 17 rebounds in the Grizzlies' last win against the Timberwolves. So there are some tough rotational choices. Again, Taylor Jenkins has talked about this, and there is some fluidity to it, you know, based on the game. If De'Anthony Melton comes out in the middle of the first quarter, he makes 3 3-pointers. Guess who's going to play more in the second half? That's De'Anthony Melton. If Jaren Jackson gets in foul trouble and he struggles in the first half, he's going to play less. And Kyle Anderson possibly or Brandon Clark will play more in that second half. So there will be some fluidity to it as well. But overall, how Taylor Jenkins mixes and matches these lineups is going to be important. He's talked about how, you know, these Grizzlies players have played a lot with each other throughout the season. And even, you know, these lineups will look a little bit different. They're playing on the court with guys they have been on the court with a lot of this season. So that's important. But we thank you for tuning in to Locked On Grizzlies. Tomorrow, Sean Coleman will be back. I'll be back. And we'll do a preview on game one. And we'll talk about, you know, some other things that are going on around the Grizzlies as well. So the players, you know, have practice on later today. And we're going to be able to talk to the players. And, you know, they're going to be asked about Patrick Beverley. They're going to be asked about this Timberwolves team. And so is Taylor Jenkins. So we'll have more of that on tomorrow's episode as well. Appreciate you listening to Locked On Grizzlies. And make sure you're tuning in tomorrow and every other day going forward throughout this playoff stretch.